This podcast may contain coarse language. Listener's discretion is advised. Also, this podcast will obviously contain spoilers for Demon Slayer. Please beware, listen at your own risk.
Welcome to the Demon Slayer podcast. I am your host, Velour GTZ, and today I have with me two special people. First up, we have Laser Kid.
Howdy.
And also with us today, we have our dragon.
Heyo.
How you guys doing today?
I'm doing all right.
Surviving the post-Thanksgiving aftershock, as it were.
Yeah, same.
I definitely feel that. I got back from my Thanksgiving vacation at like 1 a.m. in the morning today, and then I had to go to a meeting at like 8 a.m. So I got like little to no sleep, because Minnesota also gets a ton of snow, and when you leave for a few days after a snowstorm, your driveway is just kind of covered in snow. So guess what I did when I got back? Shoveled snow at 1 a.m.
I got that to look forward to. I get to fly home on Wednesday, and our dragon, you're in the state I live in. How's the snow situation?
Well, here, it's not too bad. It was worse when I went home over the week, Thanksgiving week.
That's fair. That makes me feel
but
a little bit
it's not
better.
All that bad down here.
Yeah.
That's a bit surprising considering your guys' estate.
Yeah, way
I
up
get
in
to
the
fly
mountains.
Back into Salt Lake City, and that's gonna be fun. My car is parked at a friend's house near the airport, so yeah, that'll be fun on Wednesday.
Good old snow ruining everyone's life.
Yes, everyone except for Sean, who apparently likes. Yes, you're getting a call out, Sean. Have fun
yes.
with that.
Sean from the Tsunami Faithful Discord.
Sean, read your manga.
Sean, go read the manga and accept that snow is evil. I like how he's showing pictures of how snow isn't bad. And you can literally see just the grass. It's not even that much snow. It's like less than an inch.
We love you, Sean. That's why you get call out.
Yeah, I actually had to stay at my parents' house one day longer than I expected to because we got kind of snowed in and we couldn't get out of the driveway.
Well, luckily this episode of Demon Slayer doesn't really have that much snow in it.
I mean, that's true, it does not.
It's mostly just slaying demons like usual. So let's just get straight into the recap for Demon Slayer episode 7.
Yeah.
So, Tanjiro is still fighting the bog demon, and he's like getting a bit of the upper hand now that Nezuko's helping out. But he decides to actually go into like the swamp kind of portal the demon creates so that he can take down the other two demons that are kind of like passing through the swamp thing to kind of like get the jump on him. So he kind of dives in there, and there's all these different like garments for all the different women that the bog demon has killed, and the two of the demons of like the three like person bog demon try to attack Tanjiro, but Tanjiro manages to kill them with his water breathing techniques. Meanwhile, on the surface, Nezuko is fighting the primary bog demon, who, while also protecting Kazumi and the girl that the bog demon tried to kidnap. And the bog demon notes that Nezuko seems to have gotten a lot of blood from Muzan, because Nezuko is actually pretty dang strong and is actually holding her own really well against the bog demon. But the bog demon kind of just starts getting enraged and starts actually trying to overpower Nezuko. And as it seems to finally succeed in doing so, Tanjiro pops out of the swamp portal and attacks the bog demon and basically pins it down to the floor and starts interrogating it. So specifically, Tanjiro wants to know more about Muzan, the basically the creator of all the demons. But the Bog Demon doesn't really want to talk about Muzan. And we see why in a flashback, basically explaining how Muzan is kind of always watching the demons that he, basically controls. So the Bog Demon is, like, terrified of even the idea of Muzan knowing that he would talk about him at all. So, like, this ends up, like, leading to the Bog Demon trying to do one final assault on Tanjiro, and it basically ends in Tanjiro cutting off its head.
That's a big nope!
Yep.
Yeah, it's not even much of a struggle at that point. Tanjiro's just like, oh, cut. And Tanjiro's kind of pretty disappointed in this, because once again, he's kind of failed to get a lead to help save Nezuko. But he hasn't lost all hope, because he knows that he'll just try harder next time, like the good boy that he is. Meanwhile, Kazumi is pretty distraught about the whole situation, because at the end of the day, his fiance's dead, and there's not much that can really be done to solve that. Kazumi's kind of screwed. His anger on Tanjiro. He's like, what do you know about losing someone? You can't relate to me. And Tanjiro doesn't really get angry at him at all. He just kind of gives him a nice, kind smile. And then hands Kazumi the collection of pendants that the Bog Demon was collecting. And says that, hey, you can probably find your fiance's valuable in there to remember as a keepsake. And as Tanjiro walks away, Kazumi realized that Tanjiro was also a victim of the demons. Like, obviously, Tanjiro's family got murdered by the demons. So Kazumi finally kind of comes to this realization and apologizes to Tanjiro as Tanjiro's kind of walking away. And Tanjiro kind of just gives him a kind farewell and then goes away into the distance. As he gets further away, though, we realize that Tanjiro is also really pissed about everything. He's kind of realized, like, hey, there's others like me, and Muzan has done this to everyone. He's responsible for all this tragedy that's happening. But while he's kind of dwelling in this anger, his Kasukai Kuro comes and tells him that he has to go to Asakusa for his next mission. So then we flash forward to Asakusa, and Tanjiro is just kind of overwhelmed by it all because it's a pretty huge city, and he's in a marketplace, and there's tons of people, and being someone who's from the country, he just doesn't know how to handle it all. At one point, he even walks into an alley.
Tanjiro in the big city.
Yes, exactly. So at one point, he even, like, walks into an alleyway where, like, two people are, like, making out. And he just gets, like, super flustered and then tries to run away from all the crowds with Nezuko. And he goes to an udon shop and tries to get some udon to kind of just relax himself. But before he can consume his delicious, delicious udon, he smells a familiar scent. The scent of the demon that attacked his house.
Dun, dun, dun.
So he immediately rushes towards that scent because it's most likely Muzan. And he comes across a man with a very kind of slender appearance, very human-like in appearance almost.
It's almost Michael Jackson.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I didn't want to make the Michael Jackson joke because literally everyone has made the Michael Jackson joke. But he kind of does look like Michael Jackson.
I have ruined the party.
The podcast is ruined, Laser.
Ruined forever. Does that mean that I'm the one that's bad?
Yes, clearly. The Demon Slayer podcast is canceled because of Laser. Anyways, so he goes up to this mysterious man. And yes, it is, in fact, Muzan. But interestingly enough, he's holding a young girl. And with him, he has someone who appears to be his wife. So Tanjiro's kind of just freaking out about this because he's like, oh my god, this demon is posing as a human and pretending to have a family. And you can just see the anger rushing over, like, Tanjiro's face. And Muzan is kind of just given kind of nonchalant expression. He's like, who the heck are you? I think you must be mistaking me for someone else. But he's clearly aware that Tanjiro's a demon slayer. And to get out of the situation quickly, he does a quick sleight of hand and cuts the neck of a nearby person. And that person suddenly turns into a demon and starts attacking the entire crowd. And that's basically where the episode ends. Chaos is ensuing. And now Tanjiro kind of has to deal with it while also dealing with the fact that he's in front of Muzan.
Yep.
A very unenviable position.
Very. Yeah. I always find this episode and this part of the series kind of interesting, because I know a lot of people have mixed opinions on the fact that Muzan is introduced so early into the story. Like, this is only, like, volume 2 or so of the manga, and it's just usually unusual to have a main villain show up so quickly in your story.
It did feel weird when I was reading the manga, but it really works well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd definitely agree with that. I've talked about this a few times with a few other people, but one theory I've always had about this is, as some people know, Demon Slayer wasn't an instant hit in Shonen Jump. So I think part of me feels like this decision was made by Gotouge to introduce Muzan so early so that the readership would kind of increase and people would get more invested in the story. And I think it probably was effective, because I feel like by having Muzan introduced this early, you have a good direction of, okay, this is the guy that Tanjiro has to eventually fight. This is our end goal.
It really helps to personalize what was impersonal before, because it's like, oh, well, some guy, at first you're like, oh yeah, some demon, you know, killed your family and screwed with your sister, and we don't know who it is, some guy. And so it's like, oh yeah, by the way, it was a specific guy. There's only one. His name is Muzan. Okay, but who is Muzan? Nobody knows. He's really old. Oh, hey, and now, hi, I'm Muzan. Evil. I'm also just a jerk.
Like, I feel like Demon Slayer could have easily just kept going on kind of the Demon of the Week type formula, which I feel is kind of what the Bog Demon mini-arc is sort of like. I feel like that was kind of testing the waters to see if that would work. But having Muzan kind of established and then having everything else moving forward revolving around Muzan's direct involvement, I think just works a lot better. Especially since, like, you have the villain clearly established, and you actually can then notice the slow progression towards that end goal of fighting him. So it just works well in that way.
Oh, yeah. And it's just a big, shocking moment right then. Like, you're not expecting to run into him that early, and all of a sudden, oh, shoot, are they going to have to fight now already?
Well, also, because, oh, hi, it's Muzan, but also, it's, there's some people there that is like, oh, it's his wife and kid, and like, this complicates things a great.
Yes.
Yeah. One thing that's always kind of confused me, though, about, like, Muzan's, like, wife and daughter is that they really aren't important to the grand story at all. And that kind of makes me wonder, like, are they actually, like, is that daughter, like, his actual biological daughter? Or, like, is he just posing as someone who he, like, killed? Because, like, as we'll see throughout the series, Muzan takes up multiple different personalities and people. Like, he'll pretend to be, like, a specific person as part of a different household on kind of the regular. So, it definitely makes you wonder, like, is this really, like, a life that he's created for himself? Or is this one that he's just stealing from other people?
Okay, yeah.
It's definitely a good question.
Yeah, so it just really makes you think. And also, I think the reveal of just, hey, he's interacting with humans and pretending to be human is just so surprising, too, because you're expecting probably Muzan to be this, like, ruthless, like, outlandish demon that's slaughtering people left and right. And, I mean, Muzan is definitely like that, but he's much more subtle about it.
Yeah,
no, I can totally agree with that. He's pretty much even non-fault. Yeah, you know what? Go fight that guy. Leave me alone. I don't want to deal with you. I'm causing a ruckus with my over here, fake or real, who knows?
He's the Kira of Demon Slayer. He's living an ordinary life, but he's just murdering people in swarms in the background.
Oh my god.
Oh dear.
It's Yoshikage Kira! Oh god.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I do get those vibes. I definitely get those vibes from. And like you said, the question is it actually his, or is he just kind of borrowing them? One of the things that I really took notice of in this particular viewing was the comment from the Bog Demon that Nezuko got a lot of blood from Muzan. And this made me really wonder something for the first time. Like, I read the manga ages ago, and for whatever reason, it didn't quite sit in the way it did when I watched it for taking notes. I always had assumed up to this point that, you know, Muzan just got cut fighting something, and well, blood went in her, and it was an accident. But you don't lose a lot of blood on that. What did Muzan want with Nezuko of all people? Like, talk about people who are middle of nowhere. Tanjiro's family just cut out in the middle of nowhere. Just leads credence to a theory I've long had, but I don't want to go necessarily too into it because it involves manga. Man, what is his plan for? And was it for Nezuko, or was it for just someone in that family? And Nezuko happened. Could it have been Tanjiro if he'd been there that night? Who freaking knows?
Yeah, I mean, in the manga, the recent stuff, we have sort of started getting closer to like trying to understand why was it the Kamado family that he slaughtered. But even now, like, the full picture isn't there. It still really makes me think, like, why did he turn Nezuko into a demon? Like, there was no reason for him necessarily to do it. And it's not like Nezuko was the one who killed the rest of Tanjiro's family. They were all killed directly by Muzan.
And it gets weirder because I've seen his MO in the manga later. I'm going to give minor spoilers here, I guess. Muzan creates demons to use them. What did he? He just left her.
Like, my only theory there is that he knew that Tanjiro was also a part of the family, so he intentionally made Nezuko a demon so that Nezuko would kill Tanjiro when he came home. The flip side of that, though, is that he probably didn't realize Nezuko would be, like, an abnormality for his powers.
I mean, if she had, she wouldn't have still been there. She would have gone off and ate somebody.
Yeah, but, like, Nezuko was still passed out, though. That was the thing.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I don't know, then.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about. And hopefully we'll have the answers.
At some point, I guess.
But I guess more focused on, I guess, the anime episode itself. Obviously, this adapted chapters 12 and 13 of the manga, but also just does a really good job of doing so. It takes, as usual, a few liberties with the framing of the action scenes to really emphasize the kind of dynamic aspects of the fights. And overall, it's just really good, and I think it does a really good job of conveying kind of the impact and kind of the adrenaline of the fights in a way that the early manga doesn't do the best job at. I know a lot of people, as we mentioned before, have felt that the early chapters of the series are kind of slow, but like we've said always, like the anime just does such a good job of solving that. It knows how to really kind of gauge the average viewer so that they're invested in the story much earlier than your average reader of the manga.
Yeah, it took me a while to get into the manga. I think I wouldn't have read it so long if you weren't such a fan of it, to be honest.
For shame. For shame.
I'm a true believer now, man. I bought all the volumes as they come out.
And here's me having not even started reading the manga.
Our dragon, I'm going to literally go to your house because I know where you. And I'm going to pull up my digital chapter and be like, read the manga.
I mean, Our Dragon, do you have a Jump subscription?
Yes.
Dad, then go read it.
Yeah, go read it. It's I say this not just for you, for anybody. Jump subscription. If you have it, Read Demon Slayer. If you don't have it, it's $2. Lots of good stuff. Go read Demon Slayer.
Plus, the monthly releases are starting this month, so you'll be able to catch up by June?
I make a happy birthday to me, because my birthday's in June. I'll be like, I can finally read all of Demon Slayer!
It'll be a weird day seeing that gap filled.
I will be very happy. Mm. I will be jumping up and down like a crazy person.
Honestly, same.
To kind of throw it back on the point, some of the stuff that made interesting notes for me, just putting Tanjiro not quite realizing, oh, hey, Nezuko can fight for herself, and then realizing it when she's actually doing something, like, oh, not her so much. That seemed to be an interesting movement in the plot for me.
Yeah, it's one that I'm really happy about, too, because, like, Nezuko could have easily just been a damsel in distress for the series, and at times that is kind of a problem where she kind of does fall to the wayside. But at least early on, they kind of established that, hey, she can actually do stuff. She can actually fight. And she doesn't need Tanjiro to always protect her. And in fact, she can protect other people. Which is really nice. It kind of gives this whole sibling bond more of weight to it.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with that. Also, was it just me? It felt like she was defending those guys more effectively than Tanjiro was. Like, she's a better defense and he's a better offense. I don't want to commit to that, but it was a feeling I was getting.
I mean, Nezuko is definitely more physically strong than Tanjiro. There's no debate about that. So I think it might just be that she's so strong that it just is a little bit easier for her.
It makes sense. But they definitely make a really good team. Like, fighting the Bog Demon really shows how well they can work.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree.
And I suddenly just think, she's the tank and he's the DPS.
I mean, yeah, kinda. I mean, she wanted to be, for sure. Although, him having a Nichiren sword really helps with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's not far off base.
I mean, I do RPG vibes out of this, like pencil and paper style. Like, was this some role-playing game story that he was in at one point and decided to elaborate on? Because it does kind of have a feel from that. Of course, I wonder that about a lot of things because I'm an RPG dork.
It's a true mystery. But I guess we should also talk briefly about the English cast members that were introduced in this episode. So just going down the credits list here, we have Muzan's wife, which was voiced by Kirsten Day. As far as I could find, Kirsten hasn't done a ton of anime roles specifically, but they were Leth in Fire Emblem Heroes. So that's pretty cool. This seems to be one of their earlier anime roles. So it's cool to see some new voices in the dubbing industry.
Yeah,
absolutely. She's doing a good job. Like, I thought she sounded like a natural person.
Yeah, that's always good.
Yeah.
I mean, Muzan's wife is basically like, hey, what the heck? And hey, what the heck is the feeling I got both from the word and the delivery, so yeah.
Yeah, then moving down the line here, we have Xanthune, who is voicing Muzan's daughter, and I believe she voiced... I feel bad that I'm forgetting it right now.
I mean, I don't have everyone memorized either, so...
It's the law of the Demon Slayer podcast that we must memorize every single cast member, no matter how small.
I'm going to the Demon Slayer podcast jail for a number of them.
Tell Sean to say hi.
Hey, Sean, what's up? We're hanging out in jail. It's fun. R-Dragon, did you have any fun, interesting thoughts?
I liked the voice performances overall. I really like that crow for some reason. Or raven, or...
Oh, the crows that hilariously give Tanjiro no slack whatsoever. Hey, I need a Muzan now! But I just had a big fight. Go! Oh, man! Yeah, that was kind of good. I mean, I love those things in the manga. I love them in the show. They're always... Sure, they have a little bit of their own little mentality. It's not just literally parodying a message. They have a personality of their own.
Yeah, I just laugh whenever they show up.
I mean, I don't blame you. I well, so nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and Yeah, I particularly liked the voice they had for Muzan.
Muzan's
Like,
perfect. Every way I could have
oh
hoped.
yeah.
Like,
It
I've
just.
had a lot of knowledge about Muzan from I started reading that manga, and oh man, it was really cool to hear.
Yeah, like, I was just sold on how much of a threat he is just from that first appearance.
Okay, so I found it. It was Tokie from the previous mini arc. So I think that was the girl that the Bakugan was trying to kidnap, but Tanjiro saved.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, who spent most of the arc asleep, so she didn't really do much.
Yeah, she was pulling an Nezuko. But yeah, so I guess like since she was already probably recording for that, they probably like, hey, let's also have you record for Kibitsuji's daughter. Because I don't think like she even shows up after this, so it's probably just
No, I don't believe so
not a
either.
lot of lines to record anyways. So yeah.
Yep, our dragon and I were giving Greg some more props for an amazing job as Muzan.
Yeah, I mean, so this was basically Greg Chun's debut as Muzan in this episode, and yeah, he does a fantastic job just from the little that we see here. And I'm really interested to see him kind of go more sadistic with the role as like Muzan brings out more of his like demon side.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
That is something to look forward to.
Muzan isn't just evil. Muzan's a dick.
And then one last minor character that had a credited role in this episode was the noodle stand shopkeeper, who actually does appear in a few episodes, I believe. He is voiced by Frank Todaro, who voiced Tamami Kobayashi in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure: Diamond is Unbreakable. He's the stand user that has like the whole lock stand that is like all about like bribery and stuff. Like, he's the one who tries to, like, blackmail Koichi and, like, tries to, like, get it on with, like, his mom and, like, sister.
Oh, yeah, that
Yeah, I
guy.
remember him. Oh, JoJo.
Yeah, I always find that character kind of amusing, because I believe in the manga, he's initially, like, a normally, like, sized character, but after he's defeated, he becomes, like, Koichi-sized. So he literally loses height after being defeated. It's really funny.
I mean,
Yeah.
that's right there.
Yeah, the heights in JoJo, from what I've seen, are very weird. Just like the rest of JoJo.
Yup. But overall, the voice performances have continued to be solid in the Demon Slayer dub. We kind of praise it every week at this point, but it really is just that good of a dub.
It really is, and I almost worry that that overstay you currently feel that it's my favorite dub of all time just because of how well everyone fits their role. And not just the like for a voice feel, but the acting as well. Both are really great casting and really great acting.
The real test will be when Bryce shows up as a Inosuke.
God, I'm both excited for yet dreading this because I love Bryce. I love his I have to admit I'm a bit of a doubter for him, but I'm hoping that I'm wrong because I want to be wrong. Because if he can pull off a gritty Inosuke, that'd be amazing. I heard the little sample clip thing. I'm on the fence on it.
Yeah, I feel like it might not work out of context. But I think we really have to see him just in like natural dialogue with Inosuke.
The first time he says he's going to be the god of the mountain, I think it'll be.
He has to scream coming through like he does in the manga and the subs.
Oh, Inosuke. Inosuke is one of those characters that can only be described by his own name.
Yeah, he's just an Inosuke.
Yeah, I never got that far when I watched the sub, but I am looking forward to meeting him.
Okay, now our dragon has to go to the Demon Slayer jail.
Okay, so it's me, our dragon, and Sean just by default.
Yeah, I mean, at some point we might just feed Sean to the wolves. It'll give you guys some more leg room.
That'd be good. Stretch my legs out, but
I'm
as
just
much.
way behind on anime in general. Like, I haven't finished anything that I was watching last season, and I haven't even started on anything this season.
I'm honestly the same. I don't really watch that much anime anymore. It's all really manga and light novels and
I'm slowly turning into you, V-Lord. It's kind of scary, because, yeah, I haven't watched as much anime. I got surprised that the Legend of Galactic Heroes came back. I wasn't ready for it. And I'm like, how did I not know this was coming? I love this show. Ah, I'm 3 episodes behind.
I keep getting distracted by shiny new things.
And then I'm reading manga every Sunday, like, aha, Shonen Jump app. Show me the goods. Yes.
Why would I watch Demon Slayer when I can read Zip Man?
That's hilarious.
So, any final thoughts on this episode?
It was really good one. I think it raised the stakes.
Good to...
And, yeah, it got me really interested in seeing where this series is going.
I think it's a really good pivotal moment, because we've gone from, as you said, almost like moment to moment of Monster of the Day to, oh, there's a plot here. Oh. And I just want to reiterate, Muzan, you could have done anything you wanted. Anything you wanted. You could have even played dumb to Tanjiro. I'm like, no, you had to go in front of the demon. You're not just evil, you're a dick.
Yeah.
Involving some random passerby.
I mean, that's pretty on brand for Muzan, so...
Oh, it's very on brand for Muzan, but, like, he could have easily do it like he did at first. He was like, I don't know you. I've got a wife and kid. What's your problem? Just be, like, smiling on the inside evilly and be like, Tundra would be like, I know you. I think we need to take this kid to a mental hospital. I think he needs help. Let me help you get some help. He could have done anything like that. No, I'm just going to screw over some random passerby just to get to make a distraction. That, because, you know, I'm not just evil.
What are you talking about? Like, what are you on? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Pretty much. He went above and beyond for the evil, which, yes, this is who he is.
Fun.
As opposed to off-brand Muzan. Off-brand Muzan that you buy at the store that's not as good quality. This is off.
It goes stale after like 1 week. Meanwhile, that legit good Muzan never spoils.
Yeah, about the off-brand Muzan, you think you're getting a deal because you're getting a bunch of it for cheaper, but then it's just the taste is good. So.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess so. We might as well just plug our stuff and get out of here now. So, Laser, where can the good people find you?
The good people and the bad people, I guess, although don't be bad people, can find me at LaserKidPrime on Twitter. And as always, I'm bouncing around the Toonami Faithful Discord.
And R-Dragon, where can people find you?
So, I'm the RPG Dragon on Twitter, and... I occasionally check in on the Toonami Discord. I don't often post, but I occasionally check in.
Living that lurking life.
Yep.
Well, as for myself, you can find me on Twitter at VLordGTZ, where I usually post about whatever I'm up to, usually involving reading manga, writing reviews, and not sleeping. Or all three at the same time.
V-Lord, why are we clones?
Because we make bad life choices?
I guess so.
But aside from that, you can find my more manga-focused reviews over at all-comic.com, as well as my more Toonami-focused reviews and articles over on ToonamiFaithful.com. And of course, you can follow the podcast itself on Twitter at dslayerpodcast. And on Facebook at facebook.com/DemonSlayerPodcast. So follow those if you want updates about the podcast, as well as just some general Demon Slayer news when anything big comes out, like the recent Oricon sales where Demon Slayer beat One Piece. So yeah, that was a very big deal.
I love my One Piece, but I also love my Demon Slayer, so I couldn't be happier for either one of them. They're both right.
Oh yeah,
for sure. But aside from that, you can find the podcast itself on a wide variety of platforms, from Anchor to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it, it's probably there. So just go listen to it on whatever podcast platform you prefer. And we also have a sub page right now on the Toonami Faithful website That's TanamiFaithful.com/Demon Slayer Podcast. Right now we're just kind of posting the podcast episodes there, but we're thinking maybe doing some reviews or articles over there as well at some point. So if we do those, you can check the Twitter and Facebook, because we'll probably share news about it over there. And that about does it, though. So we will catch you guys later.
Thanks for having me.
Take care, as always.